Galatians 4, 4 through 7, again, give ear, for this is the word of the Lord to you, his people. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. You may be seated. Lord, you are so good to us. You make us glad as we remember over these next few weeks the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, grant that we, as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we would have a sure confidence in our hearts to behold him when he comes as our judge, when he teaches us in your word, and when he comforts us with the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in his name. Amen. I really think Christmas time is the best time each year for stories. No matter however you like to consume your stories in books or in movies, Christmas time has the best ones. For our family, we absolutely love just getting a whole huge stack of picture books from the library about Christmas time, especially ones that kind of like celebrate Christmas in an old-timey kind of way, or maybe they have some sort of like rural or kind of country celebration theme. But we also really love Christmas movies. The classics, of course, Frosty and Rudolph, and the most classic, Home Alone. But we also have two family traditions that revolve around important stories in our home. We always read first the book and then watch The Polar Express. And then we read right before we go to bed, of course, the night before Christmas. I think it's all of these, just so many good stories this time of year. But they all stem from that original good news story, the Christmas story. And we've heard this story every year our entire lives, and we will continue to hear it several times more this year in different forms. And maybe you even have a family tradition that you read the Christmas story, maybe specifically like the Luke account, right before you open presents on Sunday morning, or maybe you do that right before you go to bed on Sunday night. But I think each year we need a simple reminder of what this story is all about. We've heard it so many times, and we know all the words. We can almost kind of fill in the blanks and repeat it back to ourselves. But every now and then we need to just stop and remember the basics. We need to stop and concentrate on what the Christmas story is all about and let that story itself shape how we experience this season. So what happened? What occurred in the Christmas story? What was the purpose and what was the goal? And then how should that affect our celebrations? So we're not actually going to start by looking at the Christmas story in the Gospels, in Luke or in Matthew, or even kind of some of the famous prophecies. We've read Isaiah a little bit earlier. We're going to start on a big picture, and then over the next few weeks, kind of whittle it down into the smaller sections. This morning, we're going to look at Galatians 4. Not a usual Christmas text, but I think what Paul is doing here is giving us a distillation, giving us a really strong understanding of what happened at Christmas and why it happened. So first there, in verse 4, the apostle starts, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." When the fullness of time had come. Christmas is not a second thought. It's not a plan B. From the beginning, this was always the center of God's plan. The Christmas story is the final in a long line of retellings of the most important story. Every Bible story points to the coming of Jesus Christ. And every Bible story is a retelling, or maybe when we look in the Old Testament, we call it a pre-telling of the story of Jesus Christ come to save his people. And maybe sometimes you've heard stories or you've had maybe done a thought experiment of what would it be like if Jesus came today? What would it be like if Jesus had not arrived in first century Palestine, but 21st century America or someplace else? What would that look like? What kind of person would Jesus be if he lived now? Well, I think that actually misses the entire point of what Paul is saying here. We like to think that history is all about us, that we study history because it's the story that led up to today, and today is the most important time. But what Paul is trying to tell us here is that the high point of history occurred for us in the past. The high point of history, the hinge of all human history, was the coming of Jesus Christ. That was the fullness of time. That was when God's plan had reached its peak. All of history, the entire Old Testament, was a setup to Christmas. That moment when God came to earth was the turning point of the universe. Next, it says he sent his son. What happens at the Christmas story? God sends his son. Now, kids, we all know, and you guys probably know better than anybody else, what Christmas is all about, right? What is Christmas all about? Presents, right? That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about presents. It's true, right? Historically, the Magi, a couple later on, brought Jesus presents. And of course, our mythology of Santa comes from St. Nicholas, who would give presents to the poor. And then we give presents to our family and our friends. But Christmas is really all about presents because it is the greatest present, the gift of Jesus from the Father to his people. What the Father gave is what makes it such a great gift. Notice what it says there. He sent his son. That is the reason for our Christmas celebration. God sending God. God gave his own son. The Father sent the son to us. God came into the world to save us from our sins. In all of our songs, even this morning, we've already started to use that name, and we saw it in Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord has sent himself to be with us. God came, but notice he didn't just come as God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. God came, but he came also as a man, a real human. He came in real, tangible, physical flesh and with a true human nature. Everything that makes us human, that's what Jesus came as. Every human experience except for sin, that's what Jesus experienced. Again, just think over the last few weeks as we've been looking at the first few chapters of Philippians, that great humility, that great love that it takes for the eternal Son of God to come and take on this physical nature, to take on humanity because of his great love for us. That means Christmas is primarily a celebration of the incarnation. The incarnation, when God the Son became Jesus the God-man. Perfect God, perfect man. Truly God, truly man. Jesus became one of us so that he could save us. He became poor so that we might become rich. He became like us so that we could become like him. Christmas and the incarnation, really then, is an affirmation of the goodness of creation. It's an affirmation of the goodness of this physical world. Jesus didn't just come as a spirit. He didn't just look like a man. He really was a true physical human being. Now, we need to never take that for granted. We need to never get over that idea that Jesus, God, became a human being. He did not reject our physical, created nature. He embraced it so that he could redeem it. This means that creation is still good. Despite sin, despite the corruption that has occurred, the physical world still retains its value. That means our Christmas celebrations should be incarnational focused. We should celebrate that God thought the physical created world as something worth saving. Now, a lot of times we hear about how in modern society, Christmas has become so commercialized. And that's absolutely true. I think if anybody went to the store over the last couple of days, you would have seen that played out, right? But Christmas is not primarily about the newest HDTV or getting brand new clothes or even, as much as I love their commercials, the Lexus December to Remember event. Christmas is about God coming to his physical creation to save and redeem it. So let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the physicality, the goodness of this world that God saved. So when you should enjoy your lavish Christmas dinners. Have ham and mashed potatoes and green beans and three or four or five or six different types of pie. That's what Christmas is all about. And decorate. Get a big, beautiful tree. Put all the trimmings on it, the garland and holly all over the house. All kinds of colorful ornaments. That is what Christmas is all about. And then sit down next to your fire and snuggle up with a warm blanket and enjoy that hot cup of cocoa or take a big bite out of some fudge. That is what Jesus came to save. Those are all things that God created that he viewed as valuable enough to send his son for. So as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate what Christ came to do, let us enjoy the fruits of his work. So if that's what Christmas is, God sending his son, what is the purpose of the Christmas story? Paul tells us that God sent his son to redeem sinners. Look at the second half of verse 4 and then into 5. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth a son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus was God who became man, but becoming man was not enough. He couldn't just be born into a human life. He needed to live the human life for us. And notice how Paul puts it there. He was required to obey God's law. He was under the law. He submitted himself to the law he gave to his people. He fulfilled it then. He actually did all of it. He completed every part perfectly. All of the laws, big and small. He actually reverses the pattern of sin that we see over and over again in the Old Testament. Unlike Adam, Jesus did not rebel against God in the garden. And unlike Israel, he did not fall in the wilderness. And unlike David, he was successful as a righteous king. Jesus was born as a man under God's law. He lived his life perfectly in submission and obedience to his Father. And his sinlessness there is for a reason. It's not something he just came to do. It's not an add-on to his life. He came and lived and obeyed the law perfectly because we were under the law and we did not obey it perfectly. We are sinners like Adam and Israel and David. And we needed someone to obey that law perfectly for us. And that is how he redeemed us. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He was born as a baby, grew into a man for this exact purpose, to die our death and to give us his own life. And when it says he did this to redeem sinners, this idea of redemption is to buy us back, to purchase us out of slavery. He paid the penalty for our breaking of the law. He took our sentence and he gave us his own obedience, all to set us free, to redeem us from our own sin. Now, I don't know how each of your families handles Santa in your celebrations, but no matter what you do, I hope there's one part of the Santa story that you will utterly reject. It kind of comes right at the beginning of the song. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. What's the next part? He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Now, that is utterly contrary to what Christmas is all about. Thinking that gifts, especially the Christmas gift, depends on our behavior is the exact opposite of everything Christ came to do. It's the exact opposite of the purpose of Christmas. That type of celebration re-enslaves people to their own sin. The whole purpose of Christmas, the whole celebration, is about being released and redeemed from our sinful behavior. Jesus came, and we celebrate Christmas to remember that salvation and the gifts of God are not based on whether we are naughty or nice, but whether we have trusted in his Son. The naughty or nice type of thinking is not only dangerous to children, but I think it threatens how adults view Christmas as well. Have you ever wondered why that Christmas bonus wasn't bigger? Maybe God would have blessed you more if you had been a little bit more obedient this year. Or maybe you've worried that you were the reason your loved ones haven't yet trusted in Christ. Maybe if you were a better witness, maybe if you were sanctified more, then they would be saved. Or have you ever thought that maybe God hasn't healed your friend or resolved that conflict in that relationship because you weren't holy enough? Maybe if you had just prayed more this year, everything would be better. Don't you see how viewing Christmas that way not only kills the joy of the entire celebration, it actually denies what we're celebrating to begin with. God sent his Son to earth to release us from that slavery. Not to bind us again, only promising blessings if we should do enough to please him. No, to release us. We should really appreciate then that here, at least in the United States, the holiday season starts with Thanksgiving. Because that is how we should celebrate our freedom from sin. That is how we should celebrate the redemption that Christ has offered us. We give thanks. We overflow with gratitude. Christmas prayers should therefore be filled with praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, not fear and not doubt, for Christ has come and paid our penalty. Worshiping God for what he has done to save us, to redeem us, and to buy us back from the slave market of sin where we lived. But at this point, that's not even the greatest part. As great as it is to be released from our sin and to be redeemed from its penalty, Paul doesn't stop there. We're not just freed now to live on our own. We're not just released from the slave market of sin. Paul says we are actually brought into the family of God. So what is the goal of the Christmas story? Paul says adoption. Look at verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. I think it's really fitting that we stress family time during the holidays, especially since the goal of Christmas is to grow a family, to expand God's family. From all eternity, God's plan was to send his one son in the Christmas story so that he could get more sons and more daughters. That's why he sent Jesus, to get more children for his family. The message of Christmas is that God sent his only begotten son to receive more and more sons and daughters into his family. While this can make Christmas a wonderful time of thanksgiving for many of our families, it's also important to remember that sometimes it can make it hard for those who have broken family relationships. So if you do have a strong family, rejoice at how they remind you and how they point you to that eternal family that we will all share with Christ. But if your family is broken, or if you have family members who are lost this Christmas, remember that there is still hope. There is hope because there is a promised new family. And this new family, the Father has already wrapped his son in swaddling clothes for you. And your older brother has wrapped himself in a burial shroud for you. And there are myriads and myriads of brothers and sisters who will wrap you in acceptance and blessing and love as part of the Father's family. So over the next few weeks, you really should prioritize your family. But you should remember who your family is. Not just those people who live in your home, and not just those people who share your last name. Your family includes all those who God has given to Jesus. All of those who call God their father and Jesus their older brother. Remember them. Seek them out. Seek out those brothers and sisters whose earthly family might not be what they hoped for. Whose family members are more broken than yours are. Embrace them and bring them into the family as we were brought into God's. And even more, remember those who aren't yet part of God's family. Celebrate Christmas by copying the Father. Take every opportunity that you can this Christmas season to offer Jesus to everyone and hope that they will be adopted into God's family as well. There's no time of year that people are more agreeable, more willing to talk about faith or to attend church than Christmas time. So take advantage of that. We have several Advent and Christmas-centered sermons over the next few weeks. We'll have our Christmas Eve service and our church party as well. Invite people. Have them come. Start conversations with them, even if you don't want them to come to church, even if they're not willing. Invite them over for dinner. Ask them what Christmas means to them. Celebrate Christmas by enjoying your family, by growing your family, and by looking for chances to grow God's family too. So over the next few weeks, it's going to be easy, I think, for all of us, and it's often very good to get nostalgic about this time of year. We're going to hear the Christmas story so many times in songs. We'll probably read those famous nativity passages many times. But remember, through all the pageantry, and through all the decorations, and through all the celebrations, these are not just fun cultural moments and traditions. It is God's plan to redeem a sinful and a fallen world. So between now and Christmas Day, as you plan your celebration, as you open your gifts, as you continue your holiday traditions, remember the meaning of Christmas. Remember what happened. The Father gave a gift to His people, His Son. Remember what the purpose was, to redeem us from sin. And remember what that goal was, so that we would be brought into God's family. Remember that the meaning of Christmas is when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Let's pray. Lord, You have made us so glad at the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we joyfully receive Him as our Redeemer. We behold Him as we hear Him spoken of in Your Word. Lord, allow us to understand who Your Son is for us. Allow us to receive Him and to be received into Your family. Lord, we thank You for the grace that You have shown us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray by His name and through the Holy Spirit. Amen.